Thank you so much for coming to our recording here at Podcast Party of Democracy Unplugged. As you've heard, it's a series of talks we have to engage with leaders, to engage with yourselves, and we try to do it every second month, sometimes more frequently, and we'll be doing it much more frequently over the next few weeks and months as we head up towards November 4. We also, what happened on June 30th, we saw the 120 marches and events that took place across South Africa. And today we're looking at what happens now, what happens next. What is the meaning of what we've seen? Is it just noise or is it substance? And what does that substance, where does it take us? We've got this fantastic panel here in front of me, bringing his wisdom to the stage is my fellow political commentator and writer and journalist, Donovan E. Williams. Donovan is going to give us some of his thoughts and hopefully interact as much as possible with the other panelists. On my left here is someone you've probably seen many times on television, in the Home Affairs Committee in Parliament. He is the former General Secretary of the MK Party and a Member of Parliament, Mr. Sihle Ngubane. Well known to many of us residents of Johannesburg, he's our former mayor. Many I see in the room are hoping he'll be mayor again. He's from my hometown, so I'm always proud to see him here. Mr. Herman Mashaba, welcome. And finally, but not least, from the Patriotic Alliance, which has been, should I say, you've given us the word Abahambe. We can have a discussion about this. Mr. Solim Khize is the Johannesburg Mayoral Campaign Manager of the Patriotic Alliance. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us. I heard at the beginning of this conversation that, please, we don't all have to agree with each other. But can I ask each one of you, can we agree that the events leading up to June 30, to that deadline, whatever it means, were quite horrific? People sitting in refugee centers, people being killed, people in Mossel Bay killed, people here on the day on June 13 in Daveyton, families who speak Tsonga, and being from Hammanskraal myself, where there are many, many people, I grew up speaking among other languages, Xitsonga, being attacked, being accused of being foreigners, and having their property stolen. Would you agree with me? Would you all agree with me that it's horrendous? It shouldn't happen. That you and I can go outside and say, this gentleman here must show us his papers, or else he gets taken off by the police to be told he's a foreigner or something.
Yeah, look, Justice, first and foremost, thank you for inviting MK Party to your a show so that we express as well our view on the matters of immigration in the country. Definitely we agree. The way the immigration issues was handled on the 30th first was very much horrendous. It wasn't supposed to be handled as it was handled at that time. But again, we need to really point the problem to where it is. The reason we had the 30th of June is because of the failures of the government of the day for over a long period of years, failing all South Africans here to enforce and to implement all laws, immigration, citizenship, asylum seekers and refugees. The result of the horrendous situation that you're talking about is as a result of a dismal failures of our government, who has failed all of us here in South Africa. Taxpayers, honest citizens of South Africa, who are honestly, some of us here probably are paying 50% of the tax in these countries, but we have been dismally failed by South Africa. We have failed to manage our economy, we have failed to manage immigration issues of these countries. Hence, people are now trying to help or trying to assist this government on immigration issues. And these people who are trying to, they're using, they are acting as community policing forum, citizenship arrest activities, where they're trying to assist a government, Home Affairs, BMA, immigration officers who don't know what to do. It's out of their control.
So the system is broken, and you are condoning people walking around and saying, this man must show me his passbook.
Not condoning. Let's point again the problem where it is. If the people have failed, all the time you will get lawlessness. If a country who doesn't have laws, who are failing to enforce their laws, lawlessness.
You're a parliamentary party, then you should be doing something about this government of 10 parties and saying to them, or doing something to make sure that you win 2029. I don't know why you're associating yourself with people who go into this lady's home and start assaulting her and her children, because they don't understand that I could speak Tshivenda or Xitsonga.
Yeah, whether associating or not, we were all invited, all of us, all political parties.
And you could have
said no. We couldn't say no. The problem is
why
bigger
couldn't
than,
you say no?
Because the problem is the government of the day.
Yes, SMK confront the
party,
government.
Yes, we are confronting the government as we speak,
Mr.
on a
Mashaba,
daily basis.
I'm sure you will agree with me that this was horrendous, that it should be gone.
I will never agree with you, because I think you're the people causing the narrative, and I'm actually so disappointed that you are still continuing with the very same narrative which was really pushed when we were approaching the 30th of June. Obviously, our party had absolutely nothing to do with the 30th. We were watching. We don't know who the organizers were. But we've been unapologetic to support South Africans, because South Africans are facing a very serious situation as far as illegal immigration is concerned. And for this tone-deaf government, my personal belief is that they're being advised not by the National Party. I think it looks like they are being advised by the Broederbond, if you know what the Broederbond, the ones responsible for the National Party, because the whole issue was actually approached through the propaganda, misinformation, and the tactics used by the Broederbond during the dark days of my country's history, when every time we've got a protest, the genuine issues, they will come out with a narrative to exaggerate what was going to happen. And I think that's exactly what happened. And the media, I don't know whether deliberately or not, fell into that narrative. And I'm surprised that you're still in that world of coming out with a narrative that never existed. Because if you look at it, people were disappointed because they were expecting to have chaos. There was never chaos. So I think those who were pushing this narrative, as far as I'm concerned, they were disappointed. But one thing I want to you and others, and this tone-deaf government to understand that this matter is not going to go away. For as long as this government does not embark on a mass deportation of these criminals who are in our country, because I don't want to live side by side with criminals, because when people are in my country illegally committing illegal crimes, in a country where every 5 minutes a woman is raped, and I'm not saying the illegal foreigners are responsible.
But why are you saying every 5 minutes a woman is raped, and you're turning around and saying
we cannot. When we are facing a crisis in our home, please don't tell me about next door. So allow us as South Africans to deal with our problems. 60 people have been
murdered. You're telling me that I must think about next door. You're saying I must think that it's the Zimbabwean man,
no,
the Nigerian
no.
man.
I'm saying
men, not
when
us,
I've got issues in my house, please leave me alone to sort out my mess. And then after 50 years, when I've sorted out my mess, when South Africa has got less than 5% unemployment rate, when we don't, a woman can walk from here to Sandton any time of the day without really being stopped by another man and so forth. So I'm saying is our problems in this country are massive. We've got the highest sustainable unemployment rate in the world. We have the highest youth unemployment rate in the world. And now for anyone to expect South Africa to carry the problem of the world,
The 4th of November to vote for the for Action SA so that it can whinge and whine and tell me that my problems are caused by the Nigerian man.
I think you're missing the point. Whether deliberate or not, I'm saying is, I'm working hard for it now to go and campaign. I'm not campaigning to be the mayor of the world. I'm campaigning to be the mayor of the city of Johannesburg. Yeah. So that's what I want to sort out, the city of Johannesburg.
And will you agree with me that the city of Johannesburg, the people who've run the city of Johannesburg, have failed? There isn't that today there are people who don't have running water, who have potholes in front, and don't have electricity because those people, the people you want to replace, have not done their job.
Yes.
So why are we pointing fingers at Nigerians? Or
bringing drugs into my country, killing our youth.
You expect me, I
must sit back and allow our youth future to be really be destroyed by people bringing drugs into my country.
To govern, but not to be pointing fingers. It is extraordinary for me that you are painting a whole. It's like South Africa has. You spoke about rape. If I go to the UK or to Zimbabwe and people start saying, there's a rapist. I'm sorry.
But who said illegal foreigners are rapists?
You've just painted Nigerians as these criminals.
I said anyone who's in our country illegally has broken the laws of this country. Therefore, you're a criminal. What's a criminal in your definition?
It's someone who breaks the law.
Yes. Now, yes. Someone who comes into South Africa illegally, must we have a different definition? Someone who comes into a country illegally.
Yes. What about them?
Are they not criminals?
No. They've broken the law.
Are they not criminals?
They've broken the law.
So what is a criminal then?
They have broken the law. Some may have reasons or others. But this is not the issue. You've painted them as murderers and drug dealers I'm going to move on and ask Mr. Mkhize.
Yes,
Are you proud of that slogan, Abahambe?
Very much so. Very much so. But I would like to start with your initial question.
Yes.
Are we happy with what transpired? Yes, we are. But I will not answer it in that box to say, yes, there were incidents that happened. But for a project of this magnitude, for a project of this big where you have to run a protest across the country, you will be infiltrated. And when President Gayton McKenzie, the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, highlighted this point, people like MK, they thought we were dishing the program of Abahambe. We never dished the program of Abahambe. Even when Action SA, Herman, was quiet about it, we carried on and said Abahambe. We were at the forefront. Even when Jacinta was launching for the first time, March and March, Deputy President Kenny Gunene was there at the forefront. So I would agree that it was infiltrated. There were isolated incidences that happened, but the program was very much successful. Even the report of the Minister Kubai has said so to say, now we are over 50,000 of people that have been deported from this country. That is success. That is success looking at the problems that we are facing with illegal immigrants.
Can I just come in here, Justice?
Yes, of course.
You know, When you operate in a dishonest and disingenuous manner, as a country, we'll find it difficult to find a resolution. His party says, HNSA has been quiet. When I was the mayor, I made a pronouncement on the 1st of December, 2016. His party was one of the vocal ones calling me xenophobic. And they decided to change the tone somewhere along the line.
Never. My point is that when he was a mayor, he went on the issue.
Did you guys flip flop on
no,
this?
No, they've
issue?
Done.
No, we've never.
They've done. They've flip flop. They are no longer.
We've never. Let me tell you.
Coming public,
in the
he
past
said he
two
cannot
weeks,
let his people go on the march and join them.
Because, no.
Because he said he's in government, he's in the table, he's eating. They're enjoying the plate on the table, and they can't join
no,
the match
issue,
and match. So that's what he said.
The issue of eating is the issue of MK.
That's what
the issue said. Here is those issues, now they are presented in the cabinet because he is part of that cabinet. That is his statement. And when he said, patriots, don't go to the 30th, one, he understood that match and match has been infiltrated. So there are people who are going to come and do things that they are not. That's why even Jacinta himself kept on saying no looting, no beating up of people. He kept on raising these issues because herself, she was aware that March and March is infiltrated. That was the point that we were highlighting.
I'm going to give you a chance to understand something. In 2016, we have a local election. The DA in Johannesburg manages to cobble together a coalition. Herman Mashaba becomes the mayor of the city of Johannesburg. He gives a speech and he says, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4 in policy and practical terms to deal with the problem, if he considers that the problem of illegal immigration and what it's doing to the city. And you said, your party said he is being xenophobic. Have you changed tack now?
Who said that? He's saying it's not the PA. The PA has been on this issue of Abahambe. And at the time we were agreeing with him, to say they must go. And hence when he stopped about it, we carried on till today. Last week, we were there in Times Square. There in Times Square, the problems of South Africans now, major, it's Chinese. I don't know if you follow the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs and the Deputy Minister of Labour. Everywhere they go, our problem now is Chinese. They themselves are not documented, are running businesses in South Africa. But what they do, they go to neighboring countries and get illegal immigrants to come and work for them. Yeah. And they work for 12 rand an hour. Yeah. Those are our problems now we're facing the Chinese.
But we have always been facing illegal immigrants from all over the world. That's why I presented to Parliament on the 22nd of October 2019, to Parliament about Johannesburg being the World Cup of crime. That's a time when, obviously, before you took over this Kush position.
For matters of record, Patriotic Alliance is correct. Kenny Kunene was by the Limpopo River back then.
That is 2024.
No, before that. I want to put stuff into perspective. As well as the other gentleman, Justice, I generally correct that June 30th was not what people expected it to be in terms of doomsayers. And we need to give credit to the leadership of not just March on March, but the general leadership that took place within the country. on different marches across the country, not just the metropolitan areas. And we need to say there's something in within us that allowed a level of discipline that is commendable. Also, equally, I think they need to also accept that if it wasn't for people like yourself and others warning about the rhetoric that was coming out against foreigners and left to their own, June 30th could have been another July 2021 or June 2021. And what happened was then you got leadership of March and March beforehand changing in that last 3 weeks before the march, saying that, listen, take it easy. This is peaceful. We're not going to break the law. You wouldn't have had that. It's balanced out. It balanced itself out. But more than that, maybe the agreement, and if we listen to our gentleman here, the agreement that we can reach here, we can understand, it's implicit when you painted the picture, Justice, that we don't have leadership in this country. That we don't have leadership in the country, and not just government leadership. Because back in the day, somebody from the church or an elder can come out and say, no, no, guys, don't do this. And you would listen. Today, if somebody does something wrong, who can come out? So leadership, it's easy to say leadership because I'm not there. Put me there and I'll have leadership. And what the show mustn't become is democracy plugged, where I come and I plug my party or I plug myself. Let it be unplugged. Let's go to the matters, because the matters raised.
Let me interrupt you.
I'll finish off now, by Sichle himself. By Sichle himself, that says, can we look at these economic issues? And that doesn't, which you said, that doesn't require a blaming of foreigners. But if you just blame foreigners, like you deal with the economic issues and the problems they're in, that's when you lose leadership. And that's what South Africans are crying out for. And unfortunately, political parties are not providing leadership. They're pointing fingers. And that's what makes us disconsolate. That's what hurts us as South Africans. And I hope they would be able to respond to that.
Can I come in, Justice? I think the other thing, Justice, you started the conversation wrongly. Even Jacinda and all other players on the 30th of March, they say that on that day, the whole organization was a huge success. The horrendous part of people, tribal killing, it wasn't as you are exaggerating. There were no huge numbers, as you are saying. That much of the data, as he's saying, after Jacinda and his team changed the tone, on the 30th of June, the whole of March program was a huge success. There were no incidents, as you're saying, that horrendous name that you're putting.
I'm going to give you a chance to continue.
It was not
I want you to
like
continue
that.
Because yeah, I think yeah. you want to make another point. But can I say, there is just days before June 30, there is a rally in Pietermaritzburg, a March and March rally. At the end of that rally, Jacinta Ngobeni-Zuma invites a woman onto the stage. She says Malawians in a township called Jigajo, thank you very much. Jigajo, she says that Malawians in Jigajo killed my husband. Mm-hmm. They go into the township, they beat up, they go from house to house belonging to allegedly Malawians, probably people like me from Bulawayo, Hamujaji, but they say these are Malawians. They beat them up, they go into one house, they beat up the man, they kill him, his 4-year-old child is left today. And you are saying to me, that one life, it's not a problem.
Again, I'm emphasizing, don't distort the statistics. You are distorting the statistics.
I'm saying one life.
You are exaggerating.
It's too much life.
Look, all of us as South African, South African is a peace loving and a country. We do not condone violence. Any life lost. Is unfortunate.
So will you condemn the loss of this one life and the life of this 4-year-old?
I don't even want to say one, two, three, or four. Any life lost is condemned. But the way you are exaggerating what Jacinda has done, you are going overboard.
I'm not blaming her.
There was no horrendous or there was no huge percentage of killings, as you are putting. That March and March program was a huge success,
any legal incident that happened,
we are
condemning it completely.
Dies.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's little when a person dies.
No, I did say that it's not little, but there will be, like they say, anything is, even before 94, when we were campaigning for freedom, there were many lives lost. There were people who were tied. Those things were separate incidents of criminality. So you cannot buy that and blanket the whole thing as horrendous.
There were Tswanas,
there were Shangas that were killed.
The problem I'm having with justice is that he wants to term it as a fail.
And he wants
to put a picture that says the struggle itself. It's wrong because it has these elements.
I think you're getting justice wrong in fairness to justice, right? Can I say that in fairness to justice? Maybe you must use your surname, in fairness to Malala. That in reality, there's a particular culture and approach. March on March and various marches itself or persons have used when it has come to foreigners, in particular African foreigners. They have spoken about them in a way that is, firstly, the emblem, the culture of these things starting to become very tribal. And you can't run away from that. And it is maybe, and I mean, for us to glibly say that South Africans don't condone violence and peace loving, our crime stats don't live up to that. We are violent. We are very violent as a country. We accept violence too easily in our houses, in our streets, and you know, in all sorts of different ways. That when we give this type of rhetoric, so when justice is raising this about the culture, what we call corporate culture, of how we organize around these matters, you can't walk away from that and say that no, it's just one or in the times of an illegitimate government.
Donovan, I'm going to stop you because you're defending me too hard.
Okay, let justice defend himself. But that wasn't defense.
I want to move the conversation forward. And Sihle, I was coming to you before you took a jab at me, but I accepted. I was coming to you because I want to move the conversation to... We've seen all this. We've experienced it all. What next? You sit in a key committee in Parliament. This, and I'm not holding you responsible for this, before 2024 when you came into Parliament, this was the committee that was supposed to overhaul the migration system in South Africa if it wasn't working. This was the committee that was supposed to hold Home Affairs accountable. If Home Affairs was handing out documents, passports, papers, left, right, and center, or if it was full of holes. If you come into power in 2029, which of course you will do, what are your policy proposals? What are you going to do about this?
Look, if MK comes into government, there are a whole lot of things that we can do better than the current government. The current government has dropped the ball, actually, and they are no longer putting all their fiscal priorities to Home Affairs, to BMA, and to illegal officers at Home Affairs. Currently, BMA is operating at around about 25%. Illegal immigration officers in Home Affairs, you find that they are around about 10 in each and every province. So this government is not taking the issue of immigration seriously to put more resources in it. Secondly, what this government is supposed to do, in each and every department, they're supposed to take this issue of illegal immigration, each and every department, because you find that this issue is affecting every department. It's affecting small business department, it's affecting the Department of Health, the basic education in schools you saw in Point Road in Durban. It's affecting the higher education. By the way, I sit even on Higher Education Portfolio Committee, where most people who are illegal in this country, 90% of them have study visas, but they are not studying. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to put more finances and resources into Home Affairs, especially BMA and illegal immigration officers, and then enforce all these laws, which this government all along has been dilly-dallying and soft on these issues until people see that, look, this thing is affecting us. What Herman Mashaba is talking about when he speaks about the criminality, I've seen it in Deep Sloot. You know, in Deep Sloot, people who are raping people and are killing people, they are unidentifiable. We have people here that you can even take their fingerprints and on stealing of the cars. You don't know who killed what, who stole what, because we've got a lot of, our borders are porous. You just walk in and they stay in Tembisa, they stay in Deep Sloot, they stay in Zandspruit. You don't know who's who in the zoo. We are all here in Africa, unidentifiable. You can't take these people to go crime and open the case because he has done a murder and you don't know who did this. It's only us in South Africans who have documents, valid documents there that are legitimate. That's the problem.
So Herman Mashaba, you are running for mayor of Johannesburg and on the 5th of November, the results come in and they say Action SA, our candidate, is the winner. At the city level, hearing what he's saying about national legislation and money, resources and all that, what can one do in a city like Johannesburg, which is the epicenter of attracting people? And I'm not of attracting people to a prosperous place.
Look, let's first of all accept that Johannesburg and South Africa overall was built at the back of migrants. And I think for this city and country to prosper, we need to encourage people of the world to come here and invest, study, holiday, but they must come here legally. And when they're here, they must respect the laws of our country. So come the 5th of November, Herman Mashaba emerges as the mayor of the city of Johannesburg. And I don't want to stand on a fence. Anyone who's in the city of Johannesburg illegally, they must start running before I come. And because I will have the powers, I'll have the capacity within JMPD, will, as a matter of urgency, have a special unit that is going to work with Home Affairs, work with the Department of Labor, make sure that anyone who's in this country or in this city illegally, I'd advise them to run before I come. Before, if I come, it's not going to be nice.
How so? What can you do? How is it not going to be nice?
I will use the powers entrusted in me by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa that if anyone breaks the laws of this country, they must face the consequences of those laws.
Mm. We've been watching the Madlanga Commission with interest and seeing the onion peeling on just how corrupt even the people who are supposed to catch the corrupt cops in the police the stories out of Ekurhuleni municipality are horrendous. Essentially, the entire thing is corrupted from the head. And I want to ask you, that is what you're working with.
I think, you know, Justice and the panelists and the audience, to be honest with you, you know, this debate around illegal foreigners, as a South African city, when we've got major problems, you know, for me, honestly, we're diverting our attention from actually dealing with the plight of South Africans. Let's talk about the 12 million unemployed South Africans. How are we going to create opportunities for them? That's what South Africans should really be talking about. Don't tell me about, I must come and spend my time to talk about the criminals who are not needed in this country. Honestly, as far as I'm concerned, honestly, a debate like this, honestly, I'm using my energies for wrong reasons. Honestly, I'm really just really using my energy for wrong reasons.
So what you're saying is you'd much rather talk about improving this economy.
And improving the lives of South Africans, make sure that I protect South Africans, make sure that South Africans have got clean, drinkable water,
South Africans have got reliable electricity. We live in a country where people of the world must come and visit and enjoy this, the beauty of this country. Right now, we're talking about criminals. We put in them ahead of everything that we do. Honestly, the reason why Justice Atukete is a conscious decision to get into politics because I was sick and tired of being an armchair critic. And right now, I feel to engage in a debate like this also, I'm wasting my energy because that is not the issue that is facing my country. The issue that's facing my country right now is to see, my battle today, people living in squalor, there's debt everywhere. People don't have electricity for months and so forth. And then I must come here, I must talk about the criminals. I think, honestly...
Can I just say,
I know.
The issue for me is that we are sitting here because this issue is on the table. I agree with you.
But what is your priority?
But my priority would be to sit here like you and say, what is the issue facing South Africans? And that issue is that this economy is growing at 1%.
Yes, 1% because...
Again, hold on. And it's growing at 1% this year again, and it has done so for 15 straight years. And we're not talking about why is that so.
That's what you must be talking about.
But you and I, you and yourself and your colleagues, colleagues in politics, go out and you talk about success of a march. The success, that is the success. We're not talking about, you mentioned the unemployed. At 32% unemployed, that's a crisis.
43%, where do you get 32%
from? No, 32% is what Stats says. 43% is the wide definition.
And that's unemployment. That's
so let's call it that. Let's call it 65 for young people. That's what we want to talk about. But if you're going to say, the way I solve this problem is to paint everyone, that's... from Zimbabwe as a criminal, that's from Mozambique. That, you've put this on the table. I didn't put it on the table. And that's why you're here today.
No.
Back in 2016, you did.
Yes.
Back in 2016, let's be serious. In 2016, when you were the DA mayor, a coalition from the DA, you indicated two things. What was your focuses in terms of getting back Johannesburg? You said, I'm going to get rid of the foreigners, and the ANC stole the money. Those were your two things. And that's why I'm not going to be able to do ABCD until we get the money the ANC stole and we get rid of the foreigners. Then only we can deal with things. You cut the budgets, right? You stopped everything, all the programs, the CCTV in the city, right? You stopped it. You said the ANC Youth League is benefiting from the CCTV. That brought down the city. You depleted the reserves. You got the Johannesburg you inherited was a AAA+ credit body. That's what it was. It was prime. You got rid of the reserves. The streets went down. That's when crime entered. You stopped program after program after program on the basis there's too many foreigners and the ANC stole the money. And so today when you say, and justice is correct here, when you say, let's not deal with criminals, you've now made foreigner illegal, therefore criminal. And I want to focus on South Africans. It is so naughty. It is so mischievous. It's so incorrect.
You're
not going to deal with the economy like you're saying if you deliberately scapegoat in such an underhanded manner.
You must be living in your own world.
Of course, it's called South Africa.
And that world that you live in, I don't know even how to really describe it because go and look at the finance. You don't have to really get it from me. Get the Auditor General's report to look at the 3 years as a mayor, how the finances of the city improved. Don't get it from me. I don't have to give it to you. You're a professional person. You can read and write. So go and get the Auditor General to really show you in the 3 years how the city of Johannesburg finances improved.
So
yes,
it's not an act.
Where I disagree with him.
Yeah, and, no, I want you to move forward. On
okay,
something.
Let's go forward.
I think it was January 2024. CJ, you seem to remember this incident better than me. But the leader of your party went to the Zimbabwe Limpopo River and ran across and chased people trying to come across the river and said Abahambe, and there were people with guns and so forth. Some may say you were trying to get a seat and you got it.
It did.
Today, the problem, that stunt achieved nothing except maybe a few votes. But hold on, but here we are now, and your leader is in the government of national unity. He is a cabinet member.
Minister
of sports, arts, culture, and so forth.
Okay.
and okay. I'm asking you, what next, what now? What are you doing to resolve this problem and then perhaps segue towards doing the real work of building this economy?
You know, Justice, there's history to this thing. It's not something that started with this democracy. It started way back when there were dispossession of land and all that. People who were living in the southern part of Africa at the particular time, they were resisting to work for the settlers. This statement that is saying that this country was built on the back of migrants, it was because migrants, they undermined that struggle. And it, of which it's what is happening now. The migrants are undermining our struggle of a living wage. Yes. Hence, you need to solve that problem first, because you can say you want to up the economy and all that. We have ruthless capitalists in South Africa. They are ruthless, they are heartless, they want profit at all cost. Hence they go to Malawi, get people, go to Mozambique, get people, they exploit our own African brothers. But also, in the very same token, you know, sometimes I feel sad when you have to teach a very educated person, like the educated ones these days, to tell them that the unity of Africa, Africa is a continent, but South Africa is a country that has its own rules and laws. But we can never build this country when we can't even follow our own money. There's a lot of money that is leaving South Africa and it's doing nothing for us. But also, you can even hear the leaders that we have, we are led by wrong people in this country. We are led by wrong people who are amazed that they've seen people on drugs. Yes?
That's different to what's happening now. And you are giving me what they used to call a Mkhabulo session now. You're educating me. And what I'm asking is,
yes,
what can I expect outside of the pyrotechnics, what can I expect from a patriotic alliance that in 2 years in the government of national unity, I haven't really seen you pushing for reform of the migration laws and so forth and so on?
Yeah, you won't see it because they don't televise or report on cabinet meetings. But you can only see the resolutions of cabinet meeting in a sports, arts and culture in what President Katie McKenzie is doing. But that Nzuzo, what he's doing is from President Katie McKenzie. You know what? You won't know. What you will see, you will say Home Affairs is implementing 1, 2, 3. But what I'm saying is the Patriotic Alliance, we've never stopped this program. Hence, you still see Victoria Africa on the ground. Hence, you still see Juwera Kaldin on the ground. Hence, you still see this lady sitting in front of you on the ground, still doing Abahambe, not leaning on Jacinta, having our own programs, making sure that we carry on with this program, because this is within the policy of the Patriotic Alliance. But if we take power, to implement this policy. Number one, you can never own a building without papers. How are you expected to pay rates and taxes? So you need to do all that audit within the city so that you are able to collect. And once you start collecting enough, you'll have programs for service delivery.
I'm sure Herman Mashaba will tell you that's what he was doing in 2016. I'm going to tell that gentleman over there who's got his hands up. He has a mic, please.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mohauli Chiko. I'm just a concerned citizen. My question is to Mr. Herman Mashaba. The first thing is, it's very clear from global case studies that you cannot solve the problem of immigration by either mabahambe or increasing law enforcement or building a wall. If you want an example, go look at the United States. They aren't able to fix that. The wall thing did not work for Donald Trump. It will not work in South Africa as well. That's the first thing. The second thing is, we're all clear that the migrants are in this country is because of economic issues in their countries. No one would want to come to a pea-infested Johannesburg for the fun of it. It is a migration and an economic migration thing in particular. So in the context of finding solutions, I'd like to ask the Action SA, what is their plan or economic plan for the region? Because if you don't solve the economic issues of the region as South Africa, we'll continue having this immigration issue. What is Action SA's specific plan to restructure the economy of the region and be a catalyst like a big country or industrialized country like South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to allow Mr. Mashaba to answer that. I'm going to come to this gentleman after that.
You know, no country in the world has ever built an economy in an environment of chaos. It has never happened in the history of mankind. To build an economy, you need the rule of law to apply. So if you think South Africa can really be a miracle to build an economy in the current crisis we're in, then you must go back to school and learn other case studies, because the case studies you're referring to, that's a chaotic kind of studies you're referring to. South Africa needs the rule of law. And I've already indicated, when I come back to be the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, my priority is going to be the people of Johannesburg. I'm not going to be the mayor of Harare, I'm not contesting to be the mayor of Harare or Maputo or Pakistan or whatever. So my focus is going to be on improving the lives of the people of Johannesburg. We've got municipal regulations in this country that restricts me to focus on local matters, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Create a conducive environment for people to work and to make sure that I deal with corrupt politicians that is protecting, that he says they're not stealing. They were stealing. I don't know whether it was part of it or not, but they were stealing, and I'm going to stop people from stealing public monies. Make sure that I put in professional public service. Get rid of the cadres. Put in professional people like I did. Immediately I took over power, make sure that I do skills audit. Make sure that people don't get jobs because of who they know, because of what they know. And as I said, to deal with corruption. When I took over the city of Johannesburg, my learned friend is talking about. You know, fortunate enough, you don't have to get the stats from me. The Auditor General is there. The city of Johannesburg, before I came in, they were spending just over 50% on infrastructure. In 3 years when I left, we were already over 72% on infrastructure. Build substations, build bridges, tarred roads, put in new water, sewer.
Sorry, Mr.
Because at a local level. So I'm not going to worry about Harare. Let Harare take care of itself.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Sihleng Ngubane to step in.
What I would like to come in, Justice, South Africans need to take this issue of illegal immigration seriously. And they must stop comparing South Africa with America, USA. USA has borders. It has walls. It doesn't have porous borders. It manages its immigration very well. So it has it. It manages very well, and I'm helping you. It manages it very well. First, it manages very well. People don't just come in unknown. Number two, this government of this country is failing.
I'm sorry.
I'm coming to the economy of what he's talking about.
Okay.
To say,
but I think on a factual basis, the United States has a migration issue. Yes. Not just the United States. I think many other states in Europe, all over, are dealing with this issue.
But I just want to say on a factual basis,
I think he's correct.
No, let me help. Let's come home. The government of South Africa has failed on the Department of Monitoring, Planning and Evaluation because they don't know the population size that they need to cater for in terms of planning, for public services, for hospital, for schools, for even RDP houses. People, even our grannies, have been on a list for 20 years because houses are being taken by foreigners. Our government doesn't know that. They're planning for South Africans, but everyone comes to South Africa because it's a land of honey. Everyone in their country, people, they come on asylum seekers, on refugee, as if there are wars on all over the country except South Africa. Hence, even on economy, you can't even plan properly on economy because you have an influx of the whole of Africa coming to South Africa.
But
hence,
that is not starting on solving. Stats say has said there's between three million foreigners here. I keep on hearing this. Invaded by foreigners.
And it's 3 million, not too much.
That is not a true stat. That is not true.
Let's accept it's 3 million. It's 3 million, not too much.
Too much of what? Too much of what?
No, but justice is not true. If you have a mayor of a region,
yes,
that thought he had only 2,000 people around, only to find out that the number is escalating to 30,000, and he's amazed. They don't know the number. The number is too big.
I just want to say that good governance is required, definitely at local level. Properly, good governance is required in real terms. But you could have, and we could have, if you want to answer his question, you could have said, as the mayor of Johannesburg, I will form a twin cities agreement with Maputo, Harare, etc. How can we talk about a citizen exchange? How can we talk about better investment and so forth? Just to show there's a positive aspect. Because otherwise, it's insular. And you all said, you can't, COVID showed that. You can't stop people coming into your country. The Chinese built a wall centuries ago, which can be seen from space, and it could not stop people entering. No one can stop people entering
but,
their country.
But let me let's make life easy. Here's that clever man. Become a mayor, go ahead and put your posters.
We don't elect mayors. By the way, we don't elect mayors
mayors. When put posters. We live in a democracy, you know.
please ask your question.
Thanks for calling me clever, though.
This just became a lot. As someone who lives in Alexandria and I see all of these beautiful people in front of here, I see people who are disillusioned with what's happening on the ground. Because I live in Alexandria and what's been happening is that there's a lot of criminality that happened. There's isolated incidents where people are trying to take over people's houses. They got burned. It's a lot. But I feel like the real issues are not being actually addressed because most South Africans think that you're going to finish high school and you get an office job. And we're not all going to get office jobs. And then the aftermath of the 30th is that there's no people selling veggies in Alexandria. Now you have to go to the mall to buy these things. I don't think any South African is going to fill a whole trolley Yama veggie and push it up and down, you know, because that's not how we were raised. So what are the solutions, the real solutions, not these things that are funded, right? Yes, thank you.
Yes. Can I come, my brother? I wanted to make a point earlier on that says we are led by wrong people. People who all, whether they go to school or they make it in business, they only one thing. If I can live in Sandhurst, drive this big car, and they all want that. I don't live in those places. I live in a township where I lead. But let me tell you, these businesses you see, they are well organized. Some of them are syndicates who are pumping in money. You can ban a tuck shop of a Pakistani now. Tomorrow he will come with a full stock and fill that shop because they are well funded. That is where
by our international downfall, drug syndicates.
That is where our downfall is as South Africans, because we chase them away. But we don't have that backing that will say, I can fund your business, open a business here. Hence, we keep on going back to what it's happening. And also, our education does not deal with the most important stuff in the community, your grassroots businesses. Everyone goes to university to become like Justice Malala, and there no one who will say, I'm going to take an agricultural course, and when I come back, this is what I'm going to.
Take this. This lady had her hand up, and also we've just had men asking questions. So,
thank you. My question is to Mr. Mashaba. There's generally a lot of pushback when we talk about illegal migration in South Africa as if it's not happening everywhere else in the world. But when we talk about solutions, I think you have an opportunity to speak to the things that you have done before. You can talk about, can you talk to us about the 154 hijacked buildings that were invaded by foreign nationals in the inner city? And it's an example of criminality in the city led by undocumented migrants, and how that affects our economy in the city of Joburg.
I'm going to allow you to answer that because I'm interested. I'm particularly interested in how
you know, when I took over that city on the 1st of December 2016, I made a commitment to residents of the city of Johannesburg that I'm going to take back this city. There's hijacked, abandoned, derelict buildings from criminals, and no one is going to stop me. Put in structures, put in measures in place. In 3 years, I identified 600 properties. I'm on record, passed by council. In the 2017-2018, I passed a policy called the Inner City Rejuvenation Plan in the city of Johannesburg. It's still a policy today. It was left aside when I left. By the time I left, as I said, I'd already identified 600 properties. By the time I left, I'd already awarded to the private sector on a long lease, not to sell, because I was not in the market to sell like South Africa's properties. I gave them to the private sector on a long lease. They were going to invest in those 154 buildings, 32 billion rands committed, the funding committed. They were going to create 22,000 permanent jobs during the construction phase. They were going to create, in the history of this country, a municipality, creating 14,500 jobs. When I left, the last council meeting I attended, even after I resigned, the last council meeting, I presented to council 37 factories around Wynberg in Alexander, for them to be put on the market, for the private sector to build affordable accommodation for our people. Unfortunately, politics happened. People, ANC and some people
decided. And
so that is just to really give you an idea. So for anyone said a focus on ANC corruption, no. Those are things that are there in writing. If anyone says he doesn't know about them, then they don't live in this country. They
Thank
live
you.
Somewhere
I'm
else.
I'm going to take one last question from the audience. But I'd like you to think about something, Sihle. I'm going to give you a chance. The Minister of Justice and others tasked with dealing with the effects and post what happened on June 30, said last week, last Sunday, I think, said they've so far deported 72,000 people. And I thought, wow, someone here made a comment that, you know, that there's this millions of people coming to South Africa. You made that point. So you deal with policy and implementing it. I'd like you to tell me, she said, we are now scaling back because there's no take-up of this deportation, transport, and so forth. When you come to power, are you going to, let's say there's 3 million. Yeah, it's too little, according to you.
No, it's too much.
So if there's 3 million and only 72 have left, are you going to document and regularize? Are you going to deport? What are you going to do? We can start on your side.
Okay. First and foremost, Justice, I would like to clarify this issue of statistics. Again, let's point to where the major problem is. We have a government here that doesn't know what the right hand is doing to the left hand. The statistics we are given, it's a propaganda, a hyperbole to pretend as if this government is doing something. Why, Justice, I'm saying that? If you're saying to me in the country, you know that you have 3 million of illegal immigrants, how do you calculate them when, have you gone to the Zambezi River? They come without even knowing. How do you know a number or someone who is unidentifiable? How do you count it? This government is at a state where he has no clue. All what he's doing is thumb-sucking the 3 million. We were on the higher education portfolio committee the other day. We asked the minister of how many people that are employed. Remember, higher education has a cap of internationalization, that they must cap all the foreign internationalization at 6%. Most universities, they are around at 60 or 80% of foreign nationals that are employed in the universities and higher institutions of these countries. In this country, the truth of the matter is the government of South Africa doesn't know how many foreigners that we have, to an extent that the 62 million of population that we are saying we have here, you might find that 20 or 10 million, it's all foreigners, and South Africans are less than that. They don't know the number.
So, Lumkisha, yes. Are you going to deport, yes. Document?
Once you decide to document, there are a number of processes that you need to take, like, for instance, vetting, because we have a number of illegal immigrants who are very dangerous who are in our country. Example, the farmers, those are people that they employ. And when they kill them, they say there's farm killing in South Africa. Yes. Because they don't vet these people. So there are many layers in it. But the best way is how they are doing it now. You document them now, deport them. So that when they come back, at least you have some sort of document where you can trace that this was done by so-and-so. At this point in time, we have prisons that have 28,000 foreign prisoners who are costing us 1.280 million a day.
You do know that 65% of that 27,000 you talk about, yes, are people who are done for being illegally in the country.
But for a fact that I can...
You said they are
No. But 24,000 of them, they are illegal. 24,000 of them, they are illegal. And they are costing us taxpayers' money, a lot of money to feed them, clothe them, pay.
I'm going to give Mr. Mashaba just a little time to close, and then I'll go to the...
Yeah, but we need to deport. We need to deport them.
Before we go, what is the South Africa faces a big problem here? What is your parting shot, if you will? How do you solve this?
Well, look, I'm not at a national level, but I think if Action SA gets an opportunity to be at a national level, we've got to immediately embark on a review of all
documentation issued to foreign nationals since ANC government took power to make sure that anyone who fraudulently acquired South African citizenship, fraudulently, we must send them back to their country without any hesitation. They mustn't tell us they've been here for 30 years. You've been here for 30 years as a criminal, and therefore you must be deported. Because if we're going to apply this Ubuntu principle that I always ask South Africans, and I'm appealing to South Africans, if I have my way, but I've already bent Ubuntu in my thinking. Ubuntu is somewhere in my back burner. I want to live in a country where the rule of law is supreme, not Ubuntu. Because Ubuntu has been used to neutralize and abuse us. You know, and because Ubuntu is subjective. That's why the two of you, you like...
But Ubuntu is our pillar of one of the pillars of our constitution.
You keep it. I don't know. You keep your Ubuntu. I want to live in a country where there's a rule of law.
Donovan.
Yeah, I won't be too long, Justice.
Yes, don't be too long, please. I've run out of time.
Just to say, if you're going to cross the Zambezi, you're going to end up in Zambia or in Zimbabwe, not South Africa. Just to say. But nevertheless, look, the truth of the matter is South Africans feel like they've been taken advantage of. Yes. This is the truth of the matter. And I am hopeful that political parties in general, not just these year, and they have been, are listening to the people and not only looking at this issue as a worthwhile issue to exploit to win votes. Because we really need more from our political parties than just trying to win elections. And this is what concerns us. The issues of immigration is based that South Africans feel that they're being ignored by nearly everybody. And so therefore, they start looking just within themselves and hating others. And we have a long history of hatred and division in this country, perpetuated by a system. It'll be so hurtful one day that we ourselves create a pass. But you must carry your pass, otherwise you're checked. And you must speak a certain... We're nearly there right now. So it is not about not understanding that we have a migration problem, but we don't have foreigners who are a problem. That's the difference. It is that type of balance that I don't hear amongst our political parties on this matter. It's that which says to us, our issues are our issues, even caused by whomever, but it's our issues. We will deal with it. And we will deal with it in a way that we don't cause hatred, because that's not going to help us. And I believe in South Africans that they can do that. I've heard a little bit here that says possibly you could. But it'll ask you to not label everything and try to come up with solutions that you need each other to cooperate on. That's all I would say.
Donovan, thank you. To my panel, thank you so much, all of you, for your contribution. I appreciate it. Thank you all. Thank you. Goodbye.